Thank you very much for joining us on the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. This is Patrick Connelly. I feel like I've just started the news service there. Maybe I have. Patrick Connelly, Rory DeLargy and Ruby Walsh. We're going to look through day five at Royal Ascot. And no doubt we've provided you with plenty of winners in the first 4 days. We did all right in day one and hopefully we kicked on. We're recording on the Wednesday evening, looking ahead to the fifth day, which Ruby Walsh, who's there, is expected to be Sahara-like temperatures. Now, how can you keep cool in the top hat and all that sort of gear?
Well, on the fourth day of Royal Ascot, I will be sitting in an air-conditioned room.
Ooh. Oh, you got your box, but you don't have to talk to anyone except for the camera.
That's it. Me and Hannah. Yeah, oh, technician.
The happiest place Ruby can be when he doesn't have to talk to too many people. Rory DeLargy, it's a bit of a marathon. We're into the penultimate day. Did I say fifth day? I think I did. But anyway, fourth day, as Ruby corrects me, because he's a great man at doing it. The Friday, is it a case now at this stage where you're kind of, are you thinking this is where the gun, I unload, or are you basically still free race every game on its merit, so to speak?
Very, very much everything on its merits, really. And we'll learn things from the second and third days that you can apply here. For example, first race is a big, big field, 2-year-old contest. Again, a friend of mine's got this very interesting theory. When they water at Ascot, because it's so hot, he says they'll have to put the same amount of water across the track. But because the grandstand is so big, the sun ends up beating on the far side of the track for longer than the near side of the track. So the first race of the day should see a bias towards the low numbers because it's been drying out for longer.
I like
so
that.
I'm not sure I'd go for that. And clearly, as the day goes on, that bias would disappear. I'm not sure I'd go for that, but I see the logic of it.
Maybe
it's a little angle to use. We'll see, but we'll find out today from the Queen Mary if there's anything in that. But the Albany could easily be draw affected.
Okay. All right. Watch out. Ruby's at the track now. Can you see a shadow on the track now, Ruby?
Gone now. I'm the other side of the grandstand, PK. No, I'm afraid I can't.
Okay. If anyone hasn't been to Royal Ascot, by the way, the grandstand is enormous. It's like going to an airport. It's huge. Right. Let's get some winners in for day four of Royal Ascot. Friday at Royal Ascot. The Albany, as you mentioned there, Rory, is going to be our first race to discuss. It is a 6-furlong race, group three for the fillies. Meditate. She's looked very smart for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. She's currently 2-1 favourite as we speak. Moj, Ray Dawson, big ride for him for Saeed Binsoor. Of course, got a winner earlier on in the week, 3-1. Queen Ollie for Dave Lochnan is 8-1, 12-1 fully wet for John Thady Gosden and Frankie, and then 14's bar. So likely the winner may come from the top three in the market. And Ruby Walsh, the Albany, please. Oh, he's muted himself. He's a good man for muting himself, isn't he? I mean, he's a good man for it. He's a good man for it.
I'm trying to rule out the breakup, PK. I'm going to go with Meditate. Obviously, you're the filly, the statuette, is it a statuette? And the most we keep in Hartford, Curragh. So Meditate for me, Ryan Moore riding for Aidan. I thought she did one well at Naas in her last start. She was good at the Curragh. Ground showed suit. And I think the fact that they've left that giant at home and they're going with this one kind of says enough.
Yeah, she's a big horse statuette. Rory, your thoughts on the Albany?
Well, one of the least appealing punting races for me at this stage, until we find out if it is that shadow with the grandstand bias. Meditate obviously deserves to be towards the head of the market. I thought Moj was very impressive at Newmarket. But I'm digging out the first and second favourites there, so I don't feel like I'm much of an edge.
That's fine. You can make a pass. I think this is probably the first racing pass over the entire week, so you're due one for sure. We move on to the Commonwealth Cup. This, of course, one of the relatively new races, a Group 1 sprint over 6 furlongs, but restricted to 3-year-olds. Perfect Power, who a lot of people suggested after his 2-year-old career was going to be a sprinter. They gave it a go in the Guineas. It didn't work. 4-1 favourite, El Caballo. String of ones next to his name, or Caballo, depending on your pronunciation. Carl Burke, what a week it could be. By the time you're listening to this, he could have had a great week, Carl Burke. 6-1, Ehraz, unlucky or bad ride. Last night, 6-1, 8-1, Go Bears Go. Twilight Jeff for Michael O'Callaghan is 8-1, and 9-1 for the first of the American horses on the Friday. That's Chris Clement. Slipstream, back to you, Rory, for the Commonwealth. I'm sure you have opinion here.
I do, and it's based on the current Paddy Power price. What price have you got floaters there?
I have got Mrs. Biden at what price is she now? She's 5.05 to 1.
5.05 to 1 is too big for floaters. I don't think you'll be seeing 5.05 to 1 close to the off in this race. She was a very smart filly last season. She's got lots of early toe to get her in a good position. and she was second to Tenebrism in the Cheveley Park Stakes, a really good performance. She's not done enough. She probably just needed the run in her return, and she ran a cracker to be beaten the neck in the Cecil Friel last time. I don't know, that's only listed class, but she was beaten by a good horse there in Sense of Duty. And I thought on the balance of her form, particularly how she ties in with some of these on two-year-old form, she should not be a 50-1 shot. Now, if she ends up being 16-1, I'll be neutral on her, but 25-1 and bigger, I would definitely be backing Flotus each way.
Okay, very interesting show for Flotus. Now, nothing's confirmed yet, as we're recording early in the week, but I'm pretty confident the extra places as well in the Commonwealth Cup. Do check the website or pop into a shop for details. Ruby, your thoughts on the Commonwealth?
I don't have a 50-1 shot for you. I'm with Ayres. I did think he was unlucky at Newbury behind Tiber Flow. I think he's an improving horse. Won at the meeting last year. I think Richard Hannon's horses are running well. He didn't have a winner early in the week, but they're running well. I'm with Ayres.
Ayres for Ruby, the top market plus for Rory at a very big price. Move on to the 340, the Duke of Edinburgh, mile and a half handicap, a second mile and a half handicap of the week. Just fine for Sir Michael Stout and Ryan Moore, 7-2 favourite as we record, but a lot could happen between now and Friday. 4-1 Trawlerman for Frankie and John and Davy Gosden. 8-1 Contact for David and Nicola Barron, who've had a great season to date. Mashur is 10-1, as is Candleford for Haggis and Marcan. 12-1 Moctasab, ever present. For Jessica Harrington is 14-1, who was a really, really fast improver last year, winning three last four starts, but has top weight here. Back to you, Ruby Walsh, for this staying handicap or middle distance handicap.
Yeah, I know. And I didn't have a really strong opinion. I wasn't a card that I couldn't figure out.
Moving on to Mr. DeLargy.
Candleford, the pick for me here for William Haggis. It's his first run of the season, but his dam, Dorcas Lane, hence the name, if you're familiar with Lock Rise to Candleford. Dorcas Lane was the postmistress.
Absolutely not. You could have been talking double.
Dorcas Lane was a listed winner, maybe even a Group 3 winner for Lucy Wadham. And Candleford, son of Kingman, who did well last season, including when runner-up over this course in distance, he was disqualified that day. He was coming from stall 2 and the winner was drawn 1 off the widest. Candleford now is drawn in stall 18. Again, I keep banging the drum about this. It is a really good thing if you've got a horse that can that is happy to race with a bit of daylight to be drawn wide here. And Candleford's drawn 18 of 19. And I don't think he's got any issue with that. And Tom Marcon certainly has the confidence to ride him way off the rail and get the best out of him. You get a lot of scrimmaging here. The run to Swindley Bottom is a clearer one than a better one for horses who are drawn out wide, as long as they're ridden that way and they don't end up pulling really hard. I think Candleford will go forward. He's not going to try to lead these, I don't think, but he tends to be ridden just off the pace. I think Tom Marcon will go forward on him. He'll get a good position by the turn. And I think there's improvement in him based on how his dam progressed from 3-4 as well.
Okay, so Candleford, watch out for him, for William Haggis and Marcand. Also watch out for extra places again. Yet to be confirmed how many, but there will be in that 340 on the Friday. Moving on to the second group one, it's the Coronation Stakes. For a lot of people, this is going to be one of the races of the week. As we know, very quick ground, certainly in the early stages of the week, meaning that Homeless Songs doesn't run, but also means that Inspiral has taken her place at the top of the market. Kind of happened a few days ago, to be fair. 2-1 for Frankie and Jonathan Gosden. Haven't seen her yet, though. It's a hell of a race. You're making your seasonal debut. Cachet, 5-1 for the 1,000 Guineas winner. You've got Prosperous Voyage for Rafe Beckett, a 7-1. 8-1 Discoveries, who the lads will tell you she's related well to win this particular race. 8-1 Spenderella. That's a really interesting American runner. You've also got a French runner in Mangosine. The French have got an excellent record in this race too. And also in America, I've got Pizza Bianca for Chris Clement as well. And Henry de Bromhead's got a runner in this race. So Ruby, this is I really like the look of the Coronation Stakes this year, but I'd like the winner as well.
Yeah, look, we all were hoping Homeless Song would be in there, but she's not. Look, you've Cachet, the English Guineas winner. Inspiral looked incredible last season. It's a tricky enough one. On prices, I'm not having had a run, probably willing to take on Inspiral, even though she's very good. I'm going to go with the French filly, Mangustine, who beat Cachet at Longchamp on her last start. I know there was an ease in the ground that day, but I think the French have a really good record and they don't tend to travel when they don't think they're going to win.
Yeah, I think they've had three winners since 2016 of this particular race. So definitely watch out for Mangustine. Mr. DeLargy?
Yeah, competitive race. A couple of these caught the eye in the Guineas behind Cachet. I wouldn't rule Cachet out. She's drawn a stall 9, which seems wide enough, and she'll go forward. The fillies immediately inside her won't. So she'll get it. She'll get a nice clear run to the bend, Cachet, and she shouldn't have any excuses from where she is. I'm inclined to be against Inspiral because she's had a couple of false starts this season, and it's difficult to come to a race at the Coronation Stakes off the kind of preparation she's had. Obviously, she's in tremendously good hands and she could do it. But I respect both Prosperous Voyage, who Frank Hickey's very much on the right side of at 7-1. That's the bottom price in the village. I would also be bottom price by Prosperous Voyage. She shaped really well in the Guineas. But just behind her, also shaping really well in the Guineas, was Sandrine, badly drawn and keeping on late in the day. I thought that was a good run from Sandrine. She's a 14-1 pug. I suspect I don't think she's the best filly in this race. But I think she's probably not been given enough credit for that run in the Guineas. She was a very solid performer last year as a two-year-old, while also looking like she was going to progress from 2 to 3, which she's shown already. I think she's a fair each-way bet at 14s, especially with extra places, are any.
Well, yeah, that's a good question, if there aren't. I'll tell you what there will be, though. If you pop into a shop, it's a money-back or loser race. This is for the fourth day in a row. Retail customers will get a free bet on that Coronation Stakes. No ifs, no buts. So Sandrine for Rory DeLarge, whilst Ruby a little bit closer to the top of them. Well, I say closer. He's Mangosteen 10-1. So two nice each way shouts in the race. And seeing as the lads didn't tell you about Discoveries, she's related to Alpha. She's a full sister to Alpha Centauri and Alpine Star, who both won the race. Thanks, lads. I teed you up. I literally put you there and you both decided no, not going to bother. So she could become the third full sister to win this race for the exact same connections, which is some feat. 5 o'clock is the Sandringham. This is a mile handicap for fillies, set 3-year-olds, and this is wide open. Heredia is the 11-2 favourite. There will be extra places in this, that's for sure. Zanback for Jim Crowley and Roger Varian, 8-1. Crenell for Frankie and Jonathan Gosden, 10-1. Fresh Hope for Hayley Turner and Charlie Fellows, 12s. Persist for Haggis and Fallon is 14. 16-1 for the top weight, and that's the William McCreary trained Sagamia. James Doyle and I catching jockey booking, but of course, you know, William McCreary's got that good off in connection. 16-1 Wilderness Girl, and Lullaby will be the Aidan O'Brien, Ryan Moore team, but she seems to be very in and out at 16-1. Back to you, Ruby Walsh. Unmute yourself and tell us what wins the Sandringham handicap, please.
I'd love to be just confident to say that in the Sandringham, but I'm not that confident. I did think Persist impressively on her last start. Love the way she got running in the last half of furlong. Kieran Fallon rides for William Haggis. I thought there was something about her. She's drawn 11. Who knows where the bias will be by this stage on Friday. But I just thought Persist, there was something about her win the last day that did it for me.
Yeah, and this is the type of race where you can just take a hunch, because all of these are coming in off pretty much good performances or winning performances. They're all still relatively unexposed. Rory, your thoughts on this, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm liable to let any draw biases that's shown itself earlier in the day to shape my thinking on this, because it's a wide open race. The one who caught my eye in the first place was, I can find it, Fresh Hope. I was sending Charlie Fellows and Hayley Turner. They won it twice last few years, both with 33-1 shots. So they're a combination who do particularly well in this race. And I thought Fresh Hope won really nicely on handicap debut at Doncaster last time out, gone up just enough in the weights to get into this race, which is very much where they were coming from with the previous winners as well. She's not going to be 33-1 like those two. But she does look like a filly who will progress further. She didn't win by very far at Doncaster. It was a Jamie Spencer special. He sort of stalked them, let them know he was going best, and then just put his nose in front on the line. She could be a bit better than that, and she will stay further, which is often very important in this race, because they tend to go hard, and you've got to stay a little bit further than a mile to get home. She's already tried a mile and a quarter. So I think the trip and the track will suit her really well, and she should go well.
Okay, keep an eye out for Fresh Hope at a double-figure price, or currently double-figure price in the Sandringham. So a couple of prices there.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
5:35 is the Derby of Royal Ascot. It's the King Edward the 7th, a mile and a half, Group 2 for 3-year-old colts. Changing of the guard for Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien, 5th in the Derby, which I think was the best, actually, of the O'Brien battalion. For want of another word, 7-4, 2-1 Ottoman Fleet for Charlie Appy, William Buick, very lightly raced. 7-2, Lysander for Haggis and Marcan. Dark Moon Rising for the Kevins and Stott and Ryan, 12-1 as his Grand Alliance. And Savvy Victory, the outsider, at 20-1. So small field here. Back to you, Rory, for this one. Changing the guard. I guess that Derby one, it'll be tested earlier in the week with Nahani, who we don't know whether he's run well or not in the Queen's Vase as we record. But what were you thinking?
I thought the ground would be an issue for Changing the Guard. I actually backed him in the Derby. I thought he was a really solid each way bet because he was going to go forward. And he probably did a little bit too much in front with the cheek pieces on for the first time. The cheek pieces off now for this race. And you can certainly mark him up from what he did at Epsom. But in saying that, I think the level of form behind the winner in the Derby is not exceptional. And on quicker ground again, I think he'll be vulnerable. He doesn't really have a turn of foot, does he? He's a bit of a grinder, Changing of the Guard. And I thought Ottoman Fleet should be favourite for the race. And I think he will be favourite come the off. He was unlucky on his debut in a very warm Newbury Maiden. He should have won that. And that form has worked out very well since because Natural World was the winner who went on to the Linkfield Derby trial, I think, after that. And Lionel was third. Lionel went on and won the Cocked Hat Stakes. So that's very smart. He went to Newmarket then and justified reasonably short odds, beating Zane Sarinda and Savvy Victory. Savvy Victory reopposing here. That doesn't tell half the story. He stumbled really badly a few strides after coming out of the stalls and looked like he was in an impossible position. He's then come back. I think the idea would have been for him to have almost led that race. But he got himself in a bad position with a stumble, managed to recover, came through and won cozily, beating Zane Sarinda, who's a decent yardstick by half a length, with Savvy Victory third. And El Habib was fifth in that. He ended up running an absolute stormer in the Derby to finish midfield. I think that's better form. It's a dangerous thing to say, better form in a listed race than Changing the Guard has shown winning group races. But I think in terms of this race on quick ground, I think that's a very solid bit of form. He's only had the two runs. He's going to improve another chunk again. So I think he will take an awful lot of beating here.
Yeah, Ottoman Fleet then for Rory. Ruby?
I'm the same, Ottoman Fleet. Battled really well over 10 furlongs at Newmarket, going up in triple suit. And yeah, I think the favourite, Rory, I won't be surprised if Ottoman Fleet does start favourite.
Okay, so Ruby and Rory both believe, as we record, that Ottoman Fleet should go off favourite. He currently is 2-1, 7-4, Changing the Guard. We're recording a couple of days out, so there could be plenty of changes between now and then. And our final event on Friday is the Palace of Holyrood House Handicap, a nice little 5-furlong sprint to conclude things, folks. And interestingly, we have got a Wes Ward trained favourite at 6-1 and top weight in a handicap. This must have been a nice little puzzle for the handicapper to put in a rating here. He's given this horse a rating of 105, Ruthin or Ruthin, 6-1, 10-1 Corker for Carl Burke, 10-1 also for Ladies Church. That one for Johnny Murta, of course, has had his first Royal Ascot winner in the Rain Creative. I can't remember the name. What was Crepe Leaf? Was it? Is that the one? Crepe Leaf?
Something like that.
Definitely. Don't Google it if that's wrong. He's already had a Royal Ascot winner anyway. Sterling Knight, Ed Dunlop's is 10-1. Loves Me Like a Rock for Charlie O's 12-1. It's 14s and bigger, your remainder. Back to you for the Palace of Holyrood Stakes 5-furlong sprint to conclude the matter. Ruby Walsh.
Ladies Church for Johnny Murta. I think Ladies Church is a good shout in the 5-furlong sprint that I don't know a whole pile about, but I did like Ladies Church on our last start when she was placed, and I think she can step up on that.
Lovely. Okay. Johnny Murta could be dancing in the stands again. Rory, your thoughts on this 5-furlong? It's a real puzzle, this Ruthin, isn't it?
Ruthin's an interesting one because she's actually she's British bred. She's by Ribchester out of Merkel Salinka, who was second in the Sandringham Stakes in the Barnet colours a few years ago. So she is very much bred to improve from 2-3. She was put away after finishing seventh in the Queen Mary last season. Right, not the Queen Mary, she ran in the Windsor Castle, rather, last season. So the handicapper's got very little to judge. She seemed to show improved form when winning a listed race at Keeneland in April. She's got a lot of weight on her back, but she could easily be a group filly. And there are a lot of very ordinary handicappers in there. So you've got to give her every respect. And she's a reasonable price at 6-1, but I find it hard to know how to approach these horses. I wouldn't be mad advantage on. I thought Ortiz needs to learn to look forward at the start in these races, mind you, after what happened to him yesterday. But I think he'd probably learn his lesson.
I can understand what happened to him yesterday. Different countries, different rules, different regulations. I can see what happened to him in the stalls. I'm not overly certain. I can understand what he did once the stalls opened, but I can see what happened to him, how he got caught out.
He wanted to know exactly when the last horse was going in, so he knew when to press the button. And he didn't realize she wasn't going to go in. So that's what caught him out. And then after that, you know, panic sets in maybe.
I know. That was the first 50 yards then was strange.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, he couldn't have won after he ran a race after 100 yards. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, that Palace of Holyrood, go for it.
Yeah, so listen, she has to be interesting, and maybe she's a fair price. She could easily be a big gamble here. You know, she is you wouldn't be surprised if she turned out to be a Group 1, Group 2 filly, except that she's being aimed at a handicap, which, you know, Wes Ward isn't the type. Well,
he did win one handicap. There was a Sandringham one. One of the
probably in these corners as well. So it's difficult to know exactly where you stand with her, but she could easily be ahead of that mark. You wouldn't want to be the handicapper giving it to her, and her price will tell you all you need to know. She's either going to come shooting down from what 11-2, 6-1 top price to about 2-1 at the off, or she's going to go the other way, and you'll have to leave her well alone. I'm inclined to just look for something at a reasonable price here each way, and Nymphadora is a filly. Again, she's got a lot of group form from last season. Very, very highly tried after, again, winning the Mary Gate at York early in the season. But she's she's not a typical two-year-old either, Nymphadora. She's got a little bit of size about her. She's grown a bit this season. I thought she ran really well on her handicap debut at Chester last time out on soft ground. She doesn't really want soft ground. I think she'd be a lot happier on a fast surface here. She's off the same handicap mark, and Harry Davis is on now, taking £5 off her. So given the class she showed last year, and did she run well at this meeting? She ran well most of the big meetings through the year, and I think there's more to come from her. So at a double-figure price, a high draw that should be beneficial, she'd be my H-way play in what's a tough race.
Ruby, that's Nymphadora for Rory in the last Rubies with Ladies Church. Ruby means business, folks. We're going to get the naps, and he's put on the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator shades. You can't see it, but I can tell you, he definitely means business. So, Ruby, give us a winning nap on the Friday, please.
I'm going for Airaz in the Commonwealth Cup.
Airaz. I was going to say, I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle. All right, Rory, your nap?
I'm not going to go for the 50-1 shot, because I don't think she's going to be 50-1 come the off. And I think I want to give people a reasonable chance to get on there. So I will probably side with Candleford in the Duke of Edinburgh from that positive wide draw.
Okay, 10-1 in the 340. So the 305 for Ruby, that's Ehraz, and in the 340, Candleford, number 17 at 10-1. But a definite kind of a half nap there, I think it's fair to say, for the Flotus in the...
If you can get the 50-1. Yeah.
Well, you can right now, but obviously this isn't going to go out until tomorrow.
So exactly.
Fingers crossed he still is at that stage. Listen, lads, thanks very much. We've got one more day to cover. We'll do that tomorrow. Again, a reminder, if you haven't, and if you're only just joining us for the week, you can check the show notes, and we'll post some links to some really good Royal Ascot content available on the Paddy Power YouTube page, which includes a rewind show with Joseph O'Brien and Ruby Walsh and Paddy Power, looking back on some brilliant Royal Ascot race. I really enjoyed your chat on Declaration of War, where Joseph was aggressive, I think it's fair to say. Maybe not aggressive, but he saw a gap, but maybe it was only slightly there. And also an excellent quiz as well regarding Royal Ascot. There'll be loads more stuff throughout the flat season. We're going to be really gearing up. But until tomorrow, folks, stay well. Ruby, stay cool in your stay cool. It's Sahara-like temperatures. You'll be all right, though, but I'm sure you'll find your aircon.
I'll be fine in my aircon, PK. I will worry about everybody else that's outside, but I'll be just fine.
You will. Hoop, you'll worry about everyone else. Anyway, listen, have a great day, folks, and a buzzing for the weekend as well. Talk to you tomorrow.